Welcome to the Would You Kindly podcast.
Hello out there.
Thursday, January 22nd, 2009. I'm Jeremy. With me as always is...
Nick.
And we're here.
And we are not queer. That's good.
Get over it.
Get over it.
So, you know, I want to try something new instead of us talking about the segments. Let's actually just go straight into the segments before, you know... So that way people actually have to listen to get the information out of what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start off with a little bit of news. So,
yes, for those of you who probably haven't heard, and if you haven't heard, you've, you know, had your head in the fucking dirt like an ostrich, one of the worst stores ever created closed. Someone refused to buy it out, so they're liquidating all their shit. We are, of course, talking about Bed
Circuit
Bath & Beyond.
City.
Oh, and Circuit City, apparently.
Did Bed Bath & Beyond?
No, I'm just fucking around.
You sure? Because, oh no, it was Linens and Things that was having a closeout sale.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Circuit City. So we just have something to say to those people out there at Circuit City. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Welcome to Failtown, population, you assholes.
You guys suck so much.
Oh, but in all honesty, we do wish the West. God!
That is the snafu for the day.
God damn it.
That is what we need to do each episode. You have to fuck up some way, and we have to say snafu.
You know, people are going to think that I'm doing it on purpose.
They probably are.
If only they knew me in real
life.
But
no, seriously, we wish the best of luck to the employees. It's not their fault that the managers are complete douchebags.
Yeah, as far as... I want to send a special message out to the corporate head honchos there at Circuit City. Fuck you! Fuck you! In case you all don't know, I used to work at Circuit City.
And, they did not know.
It was a hellacious time. It truly was.
I don't know, it could be worse. You could have walked around in a giant faux hawk the whole time and did nothing.
Ah, no. I don't think anybody would be that dumb.
No.
Anyways, another bit of news. I didn't talk about you with this, so you don't know it's coming. So it's a surprise. It's a slap in the face of my dick.
All right, I'm waiting on the edge of
Actually,
my seat
we
with the rest of our listeners.
Public beta. Windows 7 came out last week.
Very nice.
Yep, I have it downloaded. Haven't had a chance to install it yet, but I want to do a segment for it next week, hopefully, if I have time.
So look forward to that on episode
six.
Six.
Is it six?
It'll be six next week.
Awesome. We're six episodes old. Hee hee hee. What are you getting us for our birthday?
Pedophiles, we're six. We're ready.
Actually, episode six was going to be our 1 month anniversary, too.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay, let's roll on into first couple stories. Let's start off with a little question. Why do movie producers feel like raping my childhood?
Because it is your childhood, and your childhood is just so rapeable. It is so profitable to, force their dick in the ass of your childhood and just go to town on it.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, they're making a lot of live-action remakes of some of my favorite anime from when I was younger.
We have the one that's actually the furthest in production, and a movie that most people said would never, ever be made into a movie.
People who said that the end of The Matrix 3 was pretty much the closest we were going to get to this movie.
We are, of course, talking about Dragon Ball.
Why would anybody feel it necessary to make this most cartoony of anime into a live-action movie? I have no idea.
Well, you see, Jeremy, it's actually a very brilliant marketing strategy. They extended the episodes by having the characters stare at each other, and the fight would happen the next episode. So they're going to do the same thing with the movie, where it's going to end with Goku and Piccolo staring off, and then Dragon Ball Evolution
charging
2,
up.
They're actually going to fight.
I believe that the entire first movie is just going to be them shitting their pants.
It's power level's over 5,000.
Yeah. So I'm actively taking a stance to avoid everything and anything about this movie. I'm still going to see it. Don't get me wrong. But until it comes out, I'm not going to see anything about it. I want to go in there with a fresh, open mind. That way I won't be...
That way he will shit blood when he sees this movie.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And on top of that, you know, they're also making... Well, they're in talks for making an Akira movie.
Yes, I heard that.
And Akira, if you don't know, is one of the best anime movies ever.
It is basically the first anime movie, the one that kickstarted everything.
First modern anime movie.
First modern anime movie, but a thing that kickstarted all the popularity of it.
Yeah, especially in the U.S. I mean, if you go sit down and watch that movie, art style's amazing, visual style's amazing. I mean, everything about it's amazing. It really looks like something that came out just a couple years ago. Came out in like 82, 83, something like that, early
80s. It was pretty much ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's very much ahead of its time. It moved away from, like, you know, the funky hair and really, really bad drawings of animes from the 70s.
It went with a more cyberpunk feel to it.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. It really is. I mean, it's like a 4.5 hour long movie, something like that. It's a really fucking long movie. I have no idea how they're going to transition this into live action, but, you know.
Well, most people were saying that about The Watchmen, how they're going to translate that into a movie. And, of course, they're raping this franchise in the ass as well. Alan Moore is spinning over in his grave.
Well, you know, is he dead?
No, he's not dead, but he's in a coffin right now, spinning over and over and over again because he's so pissed off.
He is the bat. and let's talk about the one that got me to introduce this section. Cowboy Bebop.
I'm gonna go, you know, read War and Peace while Jeremy just rants and raves about this.
I really don't have too much to rant, just because, like, there's been so little news about this. But Cowboy Bebop, in my personal opinion, is one of the best series anime ever.
It sucks. I'm, of course, just fucking with you, Jeremy. I love that show.
Oh my god, I almost shoved like a mic through your fucking ass. it's a really good show. Blends, you know, visual style with music. And in a very good way. And it had a very original soundtrack, especially from a Japanese cartoon. So, you know, they decided, hey, you know, let's make a live-action version of this. You know, they only did one Japanese movie for this.
Yeah, I heard that.
And it wasn't the best. It wasn't bad by any means, but it was a lot slower pace than the show usually is. Well, anyways, let's talk about the live-action movie, and let's all just sit here and ponder why the fuck they got Keanu Reeves to play Spike Spiegel. Does that make any sense?
Yes, because I remember watching Cowboy Bebop and the
English Spike Spiegel just walking around. Whoa.
Huh? I know Kung Fu. You move like Walter.
Huh. Yeah, no. See, I mean, I guess the body type is about right. I mean, he's a tall, kind of lanky person.
He used to be tall and lanky. Now he's just old and sagging.
Oh, well, I'm talking about Spike.
Oh, okay, they're talking about Keanu Reeves.
No. But what I don't get is, like, you know, Spike Spiegel's a very charismatic person.
Are you saying that when you watch The Matrix, your panties weren't getting wet at watching Neo talk to Trinity? Come on.
What do you mean? What is this thing called The Matrix?
Whoa. I always thought you were a guy.
She kind of does look like a guy, especially in the second
one. In the second and third one, she was just total uber, like...
I am dyke-tastic.
I mean, in the first one, where they're, like, in the club and she's wearing that corset, kind of attractive. Second two, no. Just, no.
No.
She looked more manly than Jeremy.
That's not saying much.
It's not.
But, you know, these... I just don't get why American producers feel like shoving this shit down our throats. I mean, do they think that people like us are going to go out and pay for it? Because if they do, they are completely right. But I'm not going to be happy about it.
They want your money. They don't care about your happiness, Jeremy.
Well, I'm going to write an angry blog about it.
That's what we're doing right now, Jeremy.
No, we're recording an angry podcast.
Well, you're going to write a blog anyway.
I probably will write a blog anyways about it. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't get it. And what other movies? Oh, my God. $20 says that in the next 5 years they're going to make a Sailor Moon movie.
Oh, there's already rumors that they're trying to film it over in England.
Why? That anime sucked, and that movie's going to suck even more.
They're going to be fucking little girls lined up around the block to watch that movie.
No, there's going to be little girls and like 40-year-old dudes wearing trench coats lined up around the block to see that.
I will watch that movie only if they...
Because you're a pedophile and you have a fucking pedo beard.
I'm not a pedophile. I was going to say...
You still have a pedo beard, though.
I was going to say, I'm not going to go pay to see this movie. I'm probably going to, you know, just wait for it to come out or something. But anyway, I would watch this movie only if they did, just like in the anime, where they did the transitions, where they went fully nude.
Full nude.
Before becoming in their costumes or whatever.
But it's okay. It's okay. Even though they're faux nude, they don't have nipples or vagina.
Apparently. Apparently, Japanese women are built like Barbie dolls, except not as tall, not as buxom, and, you know, just not as womanly.
I think that's more offensive. That's more offensive than what I said last week that I had to edit out. Okay.
No, I've actually dated a couple of Asian women. They're very attractive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That sets everything straight, right? Yeah, I dated an Indian girl. I know everything about Indians now.
Well, Jerry's like Dr.
Jaleeb, Jaleeb.
It's just like Durka. Dr. Azif Mandi said, all Indian people are born with a certain level of medical graduate knowledge. I'm sorry, that was a Daily Show reference. I love that show.
That. Okay, let's roll on into our next
something
segment.
Less offensive.
I'm sure we'll find a way to make it offensive.
I think we should beep out that whole thing. Oh yeah, you know, because you know, beep beep, or just you know, not that attractive. They're built like beep beep, and of course, you know, they're just not as you know, buxom.
Barbie doll. Anyways, let's roll into the next segment: cloud computing.
Yeah, take it away.
You have anything to add about that?
Yes, I'm looking forward to Google Suite, Amazon Suite, and programs like Dropbox.
Wow, congratulations. Thank you for reading my very, very bad notes.
You're welcome.
Anyways,
that is my contribution to this conversation.
I think we had something on this on the 2009 preview. I think we might have hinted at it or said something
did we?
About it.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. I don't actually listen to our show. I just record it, put it out there, and then forget about it, wash my hands of the entire thing.
And then edit out all the dead air and racist comments.
No, just the racist comments. I like the dead air. It adds entertainment. But anyway,
silence is golden.
I was going to burp in the mic, but I decided not to.
We're just doing dead air just for the sheer sake of
that was like
making you wait.
5 seconds of dead air. Okay, let's get going. Anyways, a lot of things that are coming out now and that are going to continue coming out over the next year or so that really make it so that, you know, you don't even need a computer anymore. Why do you always have to play with the shit in my room?
I'm just looking at this video game I've never heard of before. Go back to your...
You've never heard of Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Go back to your review.
That game
I'm going to look at this.
Ass, man.
I don't have an Xbox.
Hello, it originally came out on the Sega systems.
I don't have a Sega system.
You've never owned a Sega system?
No, negative.
The Panzer Dragoon series kicks ass.
Despite the fact that I have to say about cloud computing. I used to just... Despite the fact that I used to...
Cloud computing. Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Yep.
That's it. Anywho, no, Amazon has a couple new services out that are really cool. They have the S3 service, and which of course stands for their simple storage service, and the C2 service, or EC2, which is Elastic Cloud Compute, or Compute Cloud. God damn it.
Snafu number two.
No, see, I didn't stumble over my words. I just said it in the wrong order.
He's just dyslexic.
Yes. Why do you have to bring that up? Anywho, the EC2 is a really neat thing put out by Amazon. Pretty much you build a server on Amazon. Amazon hosts a server and everything, and then you just pay for the time that you use it. They give you like Linux and Windows options to set up a server for. It's like a dual Optron 8GB RAM system. So pretty much, I mean, like with that and their simple storage service, which is pretty much, you know, you don't have to keep anything on your computer. You just store it all on the cloud. You can... just use a little netbook and do server-grade stuff. I mean, you just set up the information, send it over to the simple storage service, or S3. Let's just stick with that.
S-cubed.
I like that. And, you know, you put it in there, and then you send it over...
We should copyright it before they steal it from us.
No, it's Amazon. They already have it.
Damn.
Then you send it over to EC squared, and have that do all the work. And then with that and things like, you know, the Google Apps, Google Docs... where everything's just stored online.
You're using too many abbreviations. I'm getting confused.
I'm going to headbutt you like I headbutted the door earlier.
Or your dog.
I love my dog.
Every night.
In the butt. That's why I'm always out of peanut butter. But anyways, with services like these, I mean, you could really get away, in, probably not this year, but 2010, 2011, doing real work on just a little tiny netbook.
That'd be really cool.
It's cool, but at the same time, it actually saddens me just because I'm such a... computer junkie.
I could finally open up my website for computer doilies.
For computer doilies?
Yes. I handed them myself.
Myself. Oh, look at that. You had a little fucking snafu, too.
I always have snafus. I just don't bring it to attention.
Anywho, it's really cool. Check it out. I was going to have more, but I didn't write up anything else, so that's all I really have to say.
He's too busy with his dog and peanut butter.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're going to roll into a break, and we'll be back with, what are we going to start off with? Batman or Oscar?
Probably the Oscars first.
Yeah, we'll be back with some Oscar talk. Yay!
Woo! Enjoyed the music.
Yeah. So what are we talking about now, Nick?
We're actually going to talk about the Oscar nominations, just because, again, we're huge movie nerds.
Yeah. So take that away, man.
All right. A couple of the nominations are to be expected. I really wasn't expecting The Dark Knight to be on the Best Picture, the choices for the Best Picture, but still I was kind of disappointed not to see it up there. I know one movie up there that, you know, Jeremy's really looking forward to is a Slumdog Millionaire.
I really am. I really wanted to see it the other day. Instead, I had to go see The Fucking Unborn.
That's right. You're going to get into your rant later, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later. So, yeah. Needless to say, I really seriously doubt we're going to see The Unborn as an Oscar nomination anytime soon.
Oh, wait, no. Never mind. That was Vacancy 2 that we were looking at just a second ago. Oh, God. Don't worry. That has not been nominated.
Wait. You mean a straight-to-DVD release wasn't nominated for an Academy Award? Who would have thunk?
I'm personally shocked, Jeremy. Shocked.
I bet you are.
Yes. One thing I am surprised about is to not see Christopher Nolan up there for director. He did an amazing job with that movie, especially considering the fact that he storyboarded the shit out of that movie, and he got the shots he wanted to, and even without going back and doing reshoots, he was still able to put together an amazing movie based on what he had with Heath Ledger's performance.
I will say, I was kind of surprised to not see him in there because I really think that was a beautifully directed film. I am really glad to see that Danny Boyle's up there for Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, I know you are.
I mean, he's a great director. He did 28 Days Later. He was one of the producers on 28 Weeks Later. He also did, I think he did Trainspotting too, right?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't he going to be doing the 28 Month Later? Is he directing
he's
it?
He's in talks with it right now. Okay. They're in talks, but they really want him to direct the third movie in that series. But my favorite thing about Danny Boyle, and I know I said I wasn't going to talk too much, but I just really want to say this, is you can look at any of his movies, and they're all different styles, different genres. He's not like one of those directors that always sticks to the same thing.
Yeah, like how Quentin Tarantino always has a trunk shot, or...
Yeah, like Quentin Tarantino, you could always tell a Quentin Tarantino film, because it's pretty much, they're all very similar, very... like, you know, pulpy, very noir-esque, with over-the-top violence. But, I mean, a Danny Boyle film, I mean, all his movies are almost completely different genres, and it's really refreshing to see a director who's just that talented that he can take anything and make it into a good movie.
Yeah.
So, you wanna finish up the rest of this list?
Sure. We're not gonna cover the big ones, like actor in a leading role. I mean, looking at the list right now, I am surprised to see Brad Pitt on there.
That is pretty surprising.
I have yet to see The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. But from what I hear, it's an amazing movie. I am sort of rooting for Mickey Rourke to win for The Wrestler because he's an amazing actor.
Sean Penn's up there too, but doesn't he have it?
Man, fuck Sean
already?
Penn. His greatest movie was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Ouch.
actress in a leading role. Again, nothing up there that looks really...
Oh, Anne Hathaway's up there?
Really?
I didn't even see that.
She's got nice boobs. Anyway.
Booby.
Angelina Jolie's up there for Changeling, but come on, it's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm surprised that he's not up there for director for that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
That's surprising.
Fucking Dirty Harry. No surprise here, but Heath Ledger was nominated for actor in a supporting role. And again, I am torn. I loved Dark Knight. Don't get me wrong. I saw this movie 5 times in the theater. But I'm still sort of pulling for Robert Downey Jr. to win for his role in Tropic Thunder. They're both amazing performances. You completely lost yourself in the character. You just like, for the whole movie, you're like, oh, hey, that's the Joker. That's not Heath Ledger. That's the Joker. And it's, oh, hey, that's Link from Tropic Thunder. That's not Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. I mean, towards the end of the movie, you're just sad to see the movie end because those characters are leaving. You're just, wow.
I'm really surprised that there's anybody for any comedy film up for an Academy nomination.
Yeah, it's usually all, like, dramatic shit.
Yeah, it's usually dramas and action dramas.
Okay, let's see. Adapted screenplay, fuck that shit.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Again, yeah, he wants Slumdog Millionaire. Let's see, scrolling down.
Original screenplay, WALL-E.
Wasn't there, like, 8 words in that entire movie?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, you know, ape shit about that. And I don't think it was a bad movie, but to be honest, I was kind of bored.
It was mostly women. Oh, it's so cute!
I went to see it with one of my friends, my ex, actually, and
she
hated it.
Really? That's funny. I hear they, like, try to force feed you that green message over and over again.
Yeah. Funny thing about it. Have you seen WALL-E?
No.
WALL-E, when he, like, you know, wakes up from sleep mode, it makes the old Macintosh sound.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Did that, like, make your blood boil?
No, not really. I love old Macs. I used to be an old Mac user. That's the reason I'm allowed to hate now.
looking down, nothing of note, of interest from foreign language or animated feature. Dark Knight was
Bolt
a...
and Kung Fu Panda for animated feature film. Huh, I wonder what's going to win.
Yeah, seriously. Art direction, The Dark Knight's nominated, so is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, as well as Changeling. Really, I'm pulling for The Dark Knight. Cinematography, again, The Dark Knight's nominated. I'm pulling for that one because that movie, just the shots, the everything he did was just amazing. The fact that he shot several scenes in IMAX.
That is impressive.
Awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
In case you people out there don't know, an IMAX camera is fucking huge.
They had to custom build their own rigs to support those cameras. They're so heavy.
Yeah, they're like 500-pound cameras. They're intense.
What else we got? Costume design. Nothing really of note there.
Australia,
the Duchess, Revolutionary Road.
What the hell is this milk? It's been up like 8 times.
I don't really fucking care. Documentary, I'm not here.
Dark Knight, once again.
Dark Knight.
The best documentary.
The best documentary. Film editing, Slumdog Millionaire, The Dark Knight. Again,
I think the
Benjamin
Dark Knight's
Button.
Probably going to win that one,
I think so, too, because... Again,
they couldn't do anything post with Heath Ledger.
Really, they really couldn't.
So, I mean, that's going to be impressive.
For this one, kind of weird. Makeup. You got The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which I'll give it up for. The guy ages backwards. That's going to take a lot of makeup. I haven't seen many screenshots from this, but I'm assuming it's good. The Dark Knight is nominated. Really? I like the movie. I don't think it should be nominated up there. Ooh, they put clown makeup on this one dude. And if you're saying, no, wait, Two-Face, that's all digital. That's all digital. It's not makeup. And then, of course, the last one is Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Honestly, my personal choice, Hellboy 2. Those costumes were amazing. And
just the
Del
scene
Toro.
When they were in the demon underworld.
Oh, seriously,
was...
like, yeah, Del Toro totally needs this Oscar. He just...
He deserves it.
He deserves it. He really does. Original score. Honestly, I think they should take away the makeup Oscar for Dark Knight and put it in the original score, because that... What was it, John Williams?
Yeah.
He did an amazing job. Then again, I think there's some controversy because there's 5 contributors to it, and they can only have 2. To be not Oscar nominated.
WALL-E's in there too, and so is Slumdog. I haven't had a chance to see Slumdog. I just going by what my friends tell me who've seen it, and everybody said it's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm just going for them.
Sound mixing, The Dark Knight's there. It's in sound editing as well. Now,
Wanted.
Wanted? Fuck Wanted.
Somebody kill this motherfucker!
Seriously? The funniest part of that whole movie is hearing Morgan Freeman say motherfucker, and I swear to God, he sounds exactly like Cat Williams when he says this. Somebody shoot this motherfucker right here. Anyway, sound mixing, sound editing, not important to me at least.
Iron Man's up. In...
Visual effects. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, again, deserves it, I'm assuming. The Dark Knight, amazing effects. Not as much. Iron Man. Okay, hands down, it has to be Iron Man. Watch the Blu-ray of that. You see the fucking screws in the suit. Okay? I'm not even kidding. You see the screws in the fucking suit. Not only that, but... That I think that should win for costume as well. That was a real suit that he really wore.
I want to cut back in for a second. How do you not care about sound mixing and sound editing? That's what we do each week.
You do all that. I play Crackdown while you do that.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Oh, what else we got? Documentary short, animated short film. Again, a bunch of fucking French movies.
There's a Pixar movie in there. Presto! Oh, that movie is actually pretty funny.
I haven't seen it.
They showed it before WALL-E. You know how each Pixar movie they show a little short before it?
Oh, okay.
And it was actually pretty humorous. I'm just now remembering. I completely forgot. I dropped my mic.
Way to go. Fucktard. It's Nick's show now.
No! And there goes all our listeners. But, no. Each and every Pixar movie has, like, a little digital short before it. And they're usually... A lot of times better than the actual film.
Yeah, dude, the penguins from Madagascar in front of that one animated Pixar movie? Fucking hilarious.
Madagascar is made by Universal.
I don't fucking... They're all the same to me.
No, they had one with the birds, where all the birds are on the power line, and then, like, this big fat bird comes sits down, and they all get pissed off.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. The old man playing chess with himself, I think that was before either A Bug's Life or Toy Story 2.
He was playing with himself? We're going to move on.
Yeah, why don't you grab the next segment? I'm going to go shoot myself.
That mental image, that horrible mental image?
Old dude, big Coke bottle rim glasses just... Oh, God.
Going to town on himself.
You know, I really should put the explicit tag back on this show. We totally deserve it.
Just for that one comment? All right, so... in the past couple episodes, it's obvious we're comic book fans.
What gave that away?
The fact that we suck the dick off The Dark Knight almost every episode.
Okay.
I'm actually going to finally get around to doing a review about comics. I'm starting to get free time now, and I'm able to actually
look
read
at
the comics.
Nick's actually...
contributing, I know.
Yeah, that's the first.
I'm going to pause and allow for the collective gasp, and then I'll continue. Anyway... I will be covering, since I'm still working my way through the massive amount of comics that is Secret Invasion, I'm going to go for a smaller storyline, Batman RIP. Now, I believe this is the culmination of all of Grant Morrison's run on the series. I think this is actually going to be the last thing he does before handing the reins over or just ending the series altogether. Overall, I got to say, it wasn't that good. The storyline was very disorganized. It jumped from place to place. Half the time, you're like, wait a second. Why are you jumping over here when you still haven't resolved this shit over here? Not only that, but it took very predictable twists and turns.
So, pretty much not as good as, like, you know, the War Drums, War Games, or Hush series.
Oh, seriously. In fact, I even talk about Hush in this.
Okay.
There was actually a lot of random what-the-fuck moments. At one point, Batman's in a costume of red, purple, and yellow. Yeah, you gotta read. It's bad. One of the things that left a bad taste in my mouth is towards the middle of the thing, they start hinting that Thomas Wayne isn't dead, that he faked his death.
Bruce Wayne's dad.
That he faked his death.
So
because,
something that's been, like, you know, a big pivotal thing in this comic.
He basically just tries to, like, say, oh, yeah, Batman, guess what? Fuck you. No, your dad's still alive. They hint that he faked his death and that Thomas Wayne really isn't the father of Bruce. That Martha Wayne had an affair with Alfred, and Alfred's the father of Bruce. Despite the fact they look nothing alike. Nothing alike.
That's kind of interesting, if only because I love Alfred as a character. Yeah,
Alfred's fucking awesome. I think Grant Morrison hyped the story way too much and just delivered nothing. I mean, he just failed to deliver anything at all. Another thing that annoyed the shit out of me, he tried too hard to make the Joker scary. Whereas, like, Heath Ledger was actually pretty subtle about it. Sure, he had his creepy moments, but it was just the way he moved and the way he looked, that is what translated the scariness and just made him so intense. Whereas this, you know, the Joker is trying to be too over the top. Like, at one point, he's, like, using, like, straight razors, and he's, like, this got this weird look in his eyes. He's covered in blood, and he like cuts his own tongue, so it looks like a snake's tongue. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's just
that's not the Joker I know.
No, it's because when Grant Morrison took over, he wrote the storyline and he made the Joker made him a lot more sadistic. It was actually a really good issue, and they explained away the whole fact that Joker will jump from corny and, oh, hey, I'm going to use a fucking...
Pow gun.
A pow gun, yeah, exactly. And then he had the darker moments, like in, what do you call it? The Killing Joke. They explain all that away, which was really ingenious on Grant Morrison's part, but this was just fucking shitty as hell. The one good thing I will say about this is, Grant Morrison stated that throughout his entire run, I think he wrote the comic for like 2 or 3 years. He's been on it for a while. That in his entire run, he left clues in his whole run about Batman RIP. Like, he's like, you can go back through and read it and you'll start seeing stuff that I put in there purposely. Cause he initially wanted to do Batman RIP right off the bat. Like, he wanted that to be one of the first things he wrote.
You think if he had done that right off the bat, it would have been better?
I don't know. I really couldn't say. I didn't read too much of his run on the series.
Random side note from this angle, it looks like you have a mullet. Continue.
It's because I pushed all my hair back. Anyway. I think the best part about this event is all the side stories, actually. They did crossovers with Nightwing. Two issues of Robin were in this. The Robin story is really cool because the basic premise of Batman RIP is the fact that early on in Batman's career, he went to this doctor for an isolation booth. He went in for 10 days to try and drive himself a little bit crazy so he can sort of get into the mindset of Joker to help him combat this new threat. And it's believed that when he was there, this man planted a phrase into Batman's brain that when he heard it, it would just start shutting his mind down. And so Batman tries to undo this, and he goes into this Buddhist... He goes into this secret city and meditates, or locks himself in a cave, basically, for 49 days. No food, no water, he just meditates. And it's basically him trying to create, like, a... You'll like this. A backup personality, like a backup OS.
Backup image for my computer.
A backup OS for a computer, basically, is what he describes it. And so the two Robin comics explains what... And this all takes place during that year that Batman left Gotham, right after the crisis. And so it explains what Robin and Nightwing did while Batman was in this cave. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty amusing. Some really nice storylines.
I really don't like the whole idea of Batman having this phrase implanted in him because Batman's such a stoic just...
Well, no. He found out about it. It's not like he can stop himself from doing this because it was just beaten into...
I know, but I mean, just like mentally the way the Batman is, I don't see that happening to Bruce Wayne.
Well, this is early on in his career. He's not as paranoid.
But then again, like, you know, before his career, he did spend years traveling the world meditating.
Yeah, but he still would have been susceptible, at least in his early career.
I guess.
And then he found out about it. That's why he made the backup personality for it.
I guess.
And anyway, the one thing that I think is really, really cool about this is Paul Dini, the guy who did all those DC animated cartoons, he wrote a storyline. It was actually a prologue to this called The Heart of Hush. Hush comes back. You actually find out more about Hush's origins, what led him up to that point. Basically, his side of the story, whereas Bruce Wayne in the Hush series talked about, you know, how he dealt with his parents dying, how he dealt with his friend Tommy's parents dying, stuff like that. So this is more Hush's point of view. And it explains why he dedicated his life to trying to kill Bruce Wayne. It was a brutal-ass storyline. Let me tell you, man. I'm not going to say anything on the podcast. I don't want to ruin it for listeners. But
for me.
Or for you. But, like, just what he wants to do to fuck Bruce over is just awesome.
Epic. Quick aside, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to get really mad at me for saying this, but I don't give a shit. I didn't like Hush that much. The Hush story arc?
I liked it just because I like Jeff Loeb's way of using all of Batman's enemies, like just using a person's all of their enemies against them in a story, and he makes it decent.
And I mean, I did like the fact that there was a lot of different enemies in there, but I mean, I just think, I mean, the art was amazing. It's probably some of the best art for Batman in decades. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I really think that's some of his best work, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing, the colors, everything, the solid, it was just great, but I like the war, like, you know, war drums, war games, war crimes, a lot more than I like Husk. How am I sucking, who am I sucking the D off?
Oh, by the way, they bring Spoiler back in this. She's alive.
What?
She was in Africa for a year.
What?
I know.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. Read it.
She was murdered.
I'm not lying.
She was murdered much like Dick. No, that wasn't Dick. It was Todd that was murdered.
Yeah.
She was beaten to death and tortured.
Look it up, dude. I'm telling you. She's back.
I gotta read this from you.
Yeah. All right, so,
Why?
Change. Anyway, the last thing we're going to talk about is The Unborn. Jeremy, take this away, sir.
Dear God. Okay, so the other day I went out with one of my friends, and we decided, hey, let's go to the movies. And, you know, I really wanted to see Slumdog Millionaire.
Do you want to see a movie? Let's go see a movie.
Let's go see a movie.
Let's go see a cinematic adventure.
Yeah. So, pretty much, I mean, I really wanted to see Slumdog or Gran Torino, another Clint Eastwood flick. But Gran Torino didn't start until 10. Slumdog didn't start until like 9:30, 9:50, something like that. And it was 7 o'clock. The Unborn came on at 7:30. My friend was like, let's go see The Unborn. My friend said it was really good. I'm like, it looks really bad. But come on, please, I really want to see it. My friend said it was good. I'm like, you're paying, sure, let's go in and see it. So we go in and see it. Nick, I showed you this, the first 4 or 5 minutes of the movie. Let me get your impressions of just that scene. Don't mention what the scene is. I just want your impressions of it.
It was fucking stupid as hell.
It's this girl. She's jogging through. I think the skyline was Chicago.
Something like that.
Some fucking north-ass city. She's jogging, and she finds a mitten. She's like, oh my god, a blue mitten. Let me pick it up. All of a sudden, the camera loses focus. She turns around, and what's that? There's a little boy standing in the street. He's missing a mitten. So she's like, huh, boy. She blinks, and oh my god, it's a little doggy wearing a mask that looks like the boy. So what does she do? Let's go walking through the woods, get off the trail. Oh, look, there's the mask. Let's go digging. And it's a baby in a formaldehyde jar, and it opens its eyes, and it's blue. Blue fucking eyes. This movie is the most ass-retarded movie. Let me just give you a little...
Okay, just one aside. How the fuck do you follow up The Dark Knight, Gary Oldman, with The fucking Unborn? That's all I'm going to say.
I can tell you. Michael Bay produced.
No, it was Goyer, the guy who helped write The Dark Knight. He produced that, too.
No, yeah, but Michael Bay was one of the producers. He was one of the senior executive producers.
Was there car explosions or car flipping?
No, but there was horrible, horrible fucking special effects.
Okay. I mean, Michael Bay film.
Special effects that I would have expected out of, a mid-90s horror flick. I mean, this movie was just bad. Painfully bad. I'm going to throw away so many spoilers that, you know, if you actually want to see this movie... Listen anyways, because I'm going to save you $2.20. This movie fucking blows ass. The main ghost thing is Jewish. It's a Jewish demon brought about by Nazis' experimentation. You know what I got out of this movie?
What?
This movie is a pro-abortion film. Because it ends... let me wait before I get to the ending. First note, this entire thing... could have been avoided if the grandmother wasn't a selfish cunt. Not kidding. The whole reason that the demon's trying to attack this girl is because her grandmother, who was in a concentration camp in World War II with Joseph Mengele, which they didn't say it was Mengele. No. It was a very nice, very well-dressed Nazi official who liked operating on twins. That's how they described him. Huh, I wonder who it was. Anywho, her brother dies in a concentration camp due to the experimentations. So the little demon's like, oh, look at me, I'm not allowed into heaven. Oh, look, here's a body I can get into and live a life. Yay, I'm alive again. She murders him. So now he's pissed off at the family and he's just killing them for no reason. But you know what? They fucking deserve it. Her brother was dead. Who cares if he's technically not a human anymore? Who was going to use the body? Who was going to use the body? No one. So just let the fucking demon have it. There's this little dog that appears throughout the movie. It's a bull terrier. It looks like Spuds McGee or McKenzie, that old beer commercial dog.
Really?
From like the 1980s. It's the same exact fucking dog. The only difference is it doesn't have the spot over one of its eyes. This movie is so ass retarded. I'm not kidding. It's fucking okay, the demon's trying to possess this girl. Because, you know, it originally tried to possess her twin brother in the womb, but then she murdered her brother in the womb with her umbilical cord. So now the demon's like, oh, I'm going to have you instead. So in order to possess this girl, this one girl, who it cannot get to for some unbeknownst reason, it possesses about 20 other people throughout the movie. It possesses, I'm not kidding, about 20 people throughout the movie. If it could possess all those people, why didn't it just stick in one of them and leave the girl the fuck alone?
Because she was hot. It wanted to.
She wasn't hot. I'm not kidding. In one of the scenes, she's laying in her room. And, like, you know, you have to watch it on, like, you know, like on a big screen or probably on Blu-ray when it comes out to see this. But, like, she's laying there. She has horrible fucking skin. Horrible skin to the point where they're using After Effects on her face to smooth. It looks like there's, like, fucking petroleum jelly rubbed on parts of the screen because it's, like, you know, detail, blur on her face while she's laying there.
Wow.
And then, I mean, going back to how the effects are so bad, oh, God, the mirrors. You know, the demon's trying to come through the mirror. So, like, you know, at night, you know, she hears the mirror rattling. She's like, what's that? So, you know, she's in the bathroom. She's looking at the mirror. And, like, you know, the camera's right behind her from inside her room. And, like, you know, you can see her and you can see that the door's open. So, you know, mirror makes a noise. She goes up, she checks it, goes, lays down, falls asleep. The mirror starts making noise again. So from inside the room, it's zooming in on the mirror. And what do you see in the reflection of the mirror?
The boy.
The closed fucking door! They used a different image for that! Like, people aren't gonna notice! This movie sucked! So bad! Okay. You know, her friend, oh, okay, yes, it does have a token black person, and yes, the token black person does die. And I love how this token black person is the whitest black person in a movie ever. Like, she acts like a rich white girl. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be racist or make any stance. I'm just saying how movies, horror movies usually go.
They're very stereotypical.
Yeah, the black person's usually a really ghetto person. But no, she's like a really white girl. I mean, she's really superstitious, too. She's like, oh, you know, her friend keeps coming up to her. It's like, oh, what if I see this in my dream? Well, let me check my dream diary. Oh, yeah, this means this. Anywho.
Dude, you're gay.
She's trying to drive over to her friend's house, and she hits a kid. She hits a kid with the car. The kid goes flying over the fucking car. She gets out to check on the kid, and she's like, oh, my God, are you okay? Are you all right? I didn't hurt you, did I? And the kid just looks up at her. If you try and help her, he's going to kill you. So what does she do? She goes from being, like, you know, a really white, like, you know, black person to being, like, the most ghetto black person ever. She's like, yeah, shut up. You don't know shit. Get back in her car and then drives off. Here's the thing. When she hit the kid, you could clearly see from the camera angle that the windshield shattered. Like, you know, it broke the windshield when she hit the kid. She gets back in the car, windshield's fine. Not broken, not busted. So, you know, after all this, like, you know, she's been by her side from the beginning. She's seen the freaky stuff. You know, oh, They're talking on their Macs because everybody in this movie owns fucking Apple products out the ass. Like, what is it? Between 6% and 8% of the U.S. population owns Apple computers. Everybody in this movie owns an Apple computer, and everybody has an iPhone. It's not like that. Apple apparently paid the bill for this movie. Why? I have no fucking clue. But anyways, so they're chatting in their iLife studio suite using iChat, and she's like, oh, it's a dark, rainy night. I'm all alone. Somebody's knocking at the door. Let me go check who it is. So the white girl's like, no, don't go! So she's like, I'll be right back, sister, don't worry. She goes downstairs, and sure enough, what does her white friend see? She sees the reflection of the little boy inside the mirror, inside through her webcam. Because, you know, webcams have that much quality where you can see a ghostly reflection through a webcam. Because that's totally plausible.
It is plausible.
Yeah, completely, totally. So she called her, especially when it's a Jewish ghost. That's what makes the difference. It has to be a Jewish demon ghost. So she calls up her boyfriend. She's like, Scott, help me. We got an epiphany. So they go rushing across town. The black girl opens the door, and it's the little boy that she hit with the car earlier. And she's like, oh, look at that. Oh, wait, she's walking downstairs, and as she's walking downstairs, the lights start to flicker, and none of the switches are working. So she's just like, huh, let me go open the door anyways. You know, there's only been this craziness going on. Three people have already died. Oh, what's going to happen to me? So she opens the door, and the little kid stabs her in the stomach, and she's like following her through the house with a knife. And so the main character and her boyfriend come racing across town to come save her. The front door is locked, so they go to the back door, which is a glass door. Guess how they get in, Nick?
How?
Yes. Yes. Do they use a rock? Do they kick in the glass?
He punches through the window.
No! He jumps through the fucking glass! Full body through the fucking glass, a pane glass door, which is usually tempered so they don't break.
In a rich person's house, so you know it's probably really thick as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he jumps through it, full body, right through it, gets up, like, rolls around in the glass for like 48 seconds. That's just the camera zooming around dramatically as he rolls around in the glass, fighting with the invisible glass demon, because apparently there's a glass demon in the movie, too. And then he gets up and he's like, not even a fucking scratch, not a hair out of place. Because, you know, if you jump through pane glass, no cuts, no bleeding. No, you're going to be fine. You're going to be ready to go kick some ghost ass. Goes upstairs and starts kicking the shit out of the little kid.
Are you serious?
He like picks it up, throws it at the little kid, and is like, I'm going to fuck your face
I will
up.
Watch this movie just to see that part.
Yeah, and then the girl's like, no, no, it's not in him anymore. It's in the black girl. Because, you know, he wants to possess a woman who was just stabbed in the torso repeatedly. Needless to say, the black girl does die. Shocker. And anyways, there's just the only redeeming thing about this movie. I do encourage everybody to see this movie. This isn't one of those movies like, you know, House of the Dead was a horrible movie. Horrible fucking movie. But it was so bad it was funny. I mean, it was just humorous some of the things they did. This movie is so bad, it's horrible. I encourage you to see this movie because I can guarantee that there is nothing that you will do in your life that is as sad or pathetic or horrible as this movie. It'll make you feel better about yourself.
It will make you appreciate bad cinema more just to see this movie.
It'll make you love good cinema too. You know, it'll set you straight. It'll cure your cancer. It'll make you stop being a meth head.
That is, of course, only if you are a meth head or have cancer. If you don't have cancer, you will get cancer from watching this movie.
Yes, yes, yes. I encourage you smoke before you see this movie. That way you get the cancer started. That way when you go in there, the movie's so bad it'll heal you. I also recommend you do a lot of meth and some shrooms. And get really drunk. It's the only way to appreciate it. You know what? I don't think there's enough substances on this planet to make this movie a good movie. This movie sucked. It was ass.
We need to have a disclaimer after this episode because of all that shit you're saying.
Dude, I would rather have a rhinoceros defecate in my open mouth and then sit down on top of me than watch this movie again.
Hey, this dude, you're trying to get me to watch it today.
I'm gonna make you watch it. I'm going to sit you and Chris down, and we are going to sit there and watch it. I'm going to be chain drinking and smoking for the entire fucking movie, but we are going to get through it. By the end of it, you're going to have to take me to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Totally worth it. This movie sucks. It's horrible. They don't even use roaches for the bugs in this movie. They use, like, little fucking weevils.
Really?
Yeah, they can't even use roaches. But apparently, you know, it's a Jewish demon, so, you know, Jewish people, they don't believe in roaches, they believe in weevils. This movie sucks! Oh, wait. Ghost name? Jumbie.
Jumbie?
Jumbie the ghost is bringing shit to town. I'm not kidding, its name's Jumbie. Jumbie. J-U-M-B-I.
Jumbie, bring the chocolate pudding. Oh, how very decadent. You ranted for like 12 minutes.
I'm not kidding, this is only going to be a 30-minute podcast. We were up to 30 minutes for this half of the show alone. Worst movie I have... I don't want to say ever seen, because I'm sure I've seen something worse. But I mean... This is worse than the Resident Evil movies. It's painful.
Damn.
It's just... Let's just end the fucking... I can't say anything.
Yeah, I can't follow that up at all. By the way, would you kindly does not encourage you to do meth and cocaine and all those drugs? Please drink and drive safely. Please do not drink and drive.
Please drink and drive responsibly. Only drive if you have that perfect buzz where you're not drunk... too drunk, but you're just drunk enough that it makes you a better driver. That's when you should drive.
We do not encourage people to use recreational alcohol or drugs at all.
Unless you're under the age of 18, in which case we're all for it because you cannot be tried as an adult.
We are not.
Little kids, go shoot up some heroin into your balls. I got some meth if you want some. Oh, God.
Officers, he does not have meth, okay?
No, but
your front door is going to be kicked in one night, and they're just going to, like, rape you.
Kicked in before we even finish recording this. But seriously, don't do drugs. Don't drink and drive. Smoke a lot, but that's because it tastes delicious. No, don't smoke. Smoking's bad. But seriously, so is this movie. If you value your health, don't see it. It'll give you a fucking ulcer. I've been vomiting blood for the past week since I saw this.
So that's why you were sick the other night.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and sign off before we become even worse human beings than we are.
I don't think that's possible. Anyways, you know where to hit us up at, wouldyoukindlyblog@gmail.com. I said it right for once.
Oh, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it only took us 6 episodes.
Please, you know, just send in some messages. Let us know what you think. Call us up and leave a voicemail. Whatever.
Yeah, record it. MP3, wave, flat, og. If you record it AAC, I won't respond. I'm kidding. You can even
if it's just a call in and rant at Jeremy for being a racist prick, it's fine.
If you want to call in and tell me I'm an asshole, feel free. I guarantee you I will play you on the air.
Yes. And again, any indie bands out there that want to have their music promoted, just send it on in. We'll play it for you.
Yep, and feel free to follow me on the Twitter. I'm going to force Nick to get one sooner or later.
All right.
And, you know, I've actually been updating the Twitter, so it has updates about the podcast lately.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to sign off. I'm Nick.
I'm Jeremy. My job got raided by cops the other day.
Woo! But that's for a different podcast.
That's another story for another day. Take care, folks.
Bye-bye. Time. I know it's my fault, but it's not my problem anymore.